Welcome back to the Motor City Sports Rundown. I'm your host, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host to break down the latest and greatest in Detroit sports.
It is great to be here. We have a massive show lined up today, and the emotional pendulum is swinging wildly depending on which local team you're emotionally invested in right now.
You can say that again. We've got the absolute highest of highs and the crushing lowest of lows on the docket for this episode. The Detroit Pistons managed to exhale a collective citywide sigh of relief, while the Detroit Tigers suffered the exact kind of loss that keeps managers awake at night staring at the ceiling.
That is the perfect way to summarize it. The Pistons had their backs against the wall incredibly early in their first round series, and they responded exactly how a number one seed should respond. But man, that Tigers game in Cincinnati, that one is going to sting the fan base for a few days at least.
We are going to dive deep into both of those matchups today. We'll look at the specific tactical defensive adjustments the Pistons made in Game 2 to right the ship, and we'll unpack the disastrous Friday night rain delay that completely upended the Tigers' bullpen management.
Plus, in our roundup a little later on, we're taking a quick trip down memory lane with some fascinating thoughts from Bad Boys legend John Sally, and we'll make sure you have all the broadcast information you need for the pivotal Pistons Game 3. Let's get right to it.
Let's start on the hardwood. The topic is Detroit Pistons versus Orlando Magic. Live game updates, stats, play-by-play, Yahoo Sports Australia. And really, this is the story of a season-saving response. The Pistons took Game 2 by a score of 98-83, evening their first-round series at one game apiece. And let's be honest about the context here. The panic meter in Detroit was creeping up into the red zone after Game 1. You have the Pistons, who finished the regular season with a stellar 60-22 record, claiming the number one seed in the East. Then they come out in Game 1 and drop a 112-101 decision to the 8th-seeded Orlando Magic on their home floor. It was a shock to the system. The Magic, who went 45-37 this year, came out swinging in that first game. But Game 2 was a completely different story, and it all hinged on one of the most absurd stretches of basketball we've seen all year. You're talking about the third quarter. Exactly. The Pistons ripped off a 30-3 run in the third quarter. I mean, you read that box score and you think it's a typo. 30-3 in an NBA playoff game. It's almost unfathomable at this level of the sport. A 30-3 run means you are completely suffocating the opponent. It means you are getting stops, securing the rebound, pushing the pace, and executing on the other end flawlessly, over and over and over again, while the other team is just missing shots and turning the ball over. Head coach J.B. Bickerstaff was asked about that specific run after the game, and his explanation was incredibly blunt. He said, "We just play defense. It's that simple. When we play defense at the level we are capable of, it triggers everything for us." And he's totally right. During the regular season, the Pistons ranked 2nd in the league in defensive rating. That was their identity. In Game 1, they let Orlando dictate the terms of engagement. They let the Magic get comfortable. In Game 2, they remembered who they were. And when you look at that 60-22 record, you realize the Pistons didn't just stumble into the number one seed. They built an identity over 82 games. They were arguably the most consistent team in the Eastern Conference from November to April. Which is exactly why Game 1 was so jarring. You don't expect a 60-win team to come out flat at home in the playoffs. But to their credit, they didn't let the pressure fracture the locker room. They leaned into their identity. The 30-3 run is the headline, but the underlying story is how they achieved it. It wasn't just a barrage of three-pointers. It was forced turnovers, blocked shots, and relentless on-ball pressure. They made Orlando work for every single inch of the floor. And that takes a toll on a young team. Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner are incredibly talented, but they are still figuring out the nuances of playoff basketball. When the Pistons ramped up that defensive intensity, the Magic's offensive sets just completely broke down. They couldn't get into their actions, the shot clock would wind down, and they'd be forced into taking contested, low-percentage jumpers.
Which plays right into Detroit's hands. Bickerstaff noted that when their defense is clicking, it triggers everything else, It allows them to get out in transition before the defense is set, which leads to easy buckets and builds momentum.
Exactly. Fast break points are oxygen in the playoffs. If you have to play against a set half-court defense every single possession, it becomes a grind. The Pistons bypass that grind in the third quarter by simply refusing to let Orlando score. It's fascinating how a single quarter can change the entire complexion of a series. But now, the venue shifts. Game 3 is scheduled for Saturday, April 25th, down at the Kia Center in Orlando. And that's where things get really interesting. The Magic might be the 8 seed, but they have a very physical, very capable young core. They are going to be playing in front of a raucous home crowd that hasn't seen a lot of playoff success recently.
The question is, can Orlando regain that physical edge they showed in Game 1? Or did that 30-3 run by the Pistons break their spirit a little bit?
I don't think it breaks their spirit, but it definitely puts the fear of God into them. The Magic know now that if they let their offensive execution slip for even a few minutes, the Pistons have the defensive personnel to completely bury them.
It also puts the pressure back on Detroit, frankly. Yes, they avoided disaster by winning Game 2, but they still lost home court advantage by dropping the opener. They have to go into Orlando and steal at least one game to get that advantage back.
Absolutely. The top-seeded Pistons cannot afford to rest on the laurels of one good defensive quarter. They need to replicate that intensity for a full 48 minutes on the road. If they can do that, their depth and top-end talent should win out over a 7-game series. But if they have lapses, Orlando has proven they can make them pay.
Let's shift gears from the basketball court to the diamond. Our next topic is Nathaniel Lowe's second homer walks it off for Reds, MLB.com. And this one is a tough pill to swallow for Tigers fans.
That's putting it mildly. Friday night, April 24th, the Tigers drop a heartbreaker to the Cincinnati Reds 9-8. And the way they lost it makes it so much worse than a standard defeat.
The Tigers had a 5-0 lead in this game. They were cruising. You mentioned the 5-0 lead earlier off-air. That's the kind of cushion where, typically, your starter can settle in, throw strikes, and just let the defense work. The Tigers were executing that game plan perfectly.
They really were. The energy in the dugout was great. They were stringing together hits, manufacturing runs, and keeping the crowd in Cincinnati completely out of the game. It was a textbook road performance for the first 6 innings.
And then the weather map turned red. A 1 hour and 49-minute rain delay in the 7th inning is the absolute worst-case scenario for a pitching staff.
It's a nightmare, because as a manager, you are completely handcuffed. You can't ask a starter who has been sitting in the clubhouse for nearly 2 hours to go back out there. The risk of injury is just way too high. So you're forced to go to your bullpen earlier than you wanted, and you're asking relievers to get loose, stop, and get loose again.
And the Reds, to their credit, smelled blood in the water. They knew the Tigers' pitching rhythm was completely shattered.
They did. And it culminated in that dramatic 9th inning. Eugenio Suarez, a staple in that Reds lineup, was a late scratch due to back pain. That forces manager David Bell to shuffle his cards, and he inserts Nathaniel Lowe, which is an incredible story in its own right. Lowe wasn't exactly a highly touted free agent acquisition. He signed a minor league deal with the Reds in February of 2026. He had to battle just to get an invitation to big league camp, let alone make the roster. Talk about making the most of an opportunity. He steps in for Suarez and doesn't just fill the void, he completely takes over the game. Hitting 2 home runs in a major league game is a great night. Hitting a 2-run walk-off homer to cap a 5-run comeback is the stuff of legend. It really is. And it underscores why the Reds are sitting in first place with a 17-9 record. They have this infectious belief that they are never out of a game. Even when their starting pitching hasn't been dominant, Andrew Abbott and some of the other guys in that rotation have had their early season struggles, but the lineup just keeps bailing them out. Coming back from 5 runs down for the first time since August of 2024 proves that this offense is incredibly dangerous from top to bottom. Meanwhile, the Tigers have to figure out how to pick up the pieces. A loss like this can linger if you let it. The bullpen is going to be scrutinized heavily over the next few days.
As they should be.
You cannot give away five-run leads late in games, rain delay or not. The great teams find a way to secure those final nine outs. The Tigers failed to do that, and they paid the ultimate price.
For the Tigers, it's back to the drawing board. You have to flush a game like this quickly, but it's hard not to dwell on how fast things unraveled. The bullpen has to figure out how to stay sharp through adversity, because weather delays are just a part of the sport. They are. But you rarely see a momentum shift quite this violent. The Tigers went from looking like they were going to cruise to an easy Friday night road win to walking off the field stunned. It's a long season, but this is one they'll want to forget quickly.
All right, we need to cleanse the palate a bit after that Tigers recap. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. Let's see what else is making news around the Detroit sports landscape today.
First up in the roundup, from Basketball Network, the things I do, they don't have stats for. John Sally explained why his role was vital to the Pistons' back-to-back titles. This is just a fantastic piece of nostalgia for longtime Detroit fans. Sally, who was the 11th overall pick back in the 1986 draft, recently talked about his specific role on those legendary 1989 and 1990 championship teams. He dropped a great quote, saying, "Maybe I only got 5 rebounds, but I changed maybe 20 shots tonight, and I've got 2 rings on my fingers." It really highlights the fundamental difference in how we evaluate players today versus the late 80s. Today, we have advanced analytics for everything. Shot contesting data, defensive win shares, you name it. Back then, a 6'11 defensive anchor like Sally doing the gritty, dirty work often got completely overlooked in the traditional box score. Exactly. He was the first player in NBA history to win championships with 3 different franchises, by the way. The Bad Boys had a reputation for being physical, and sometimes that overshadowed their actual basketball skill. Guys like Sally provided incredible tactical defensive discipline that made those deep playoff runs against the Celtics and Bulls possible.
Moving on to our final item, from SportingNews.com. What channel is Magic versus Pistons on today? Time, TV schedule, live stream to watch Game 3 of NBA playoff series.
And you will need to make sure your streaming setup is ready to go, because the game is going to be broadcast exclusively on Peacock. So get those logins sorted out well before the Saturday afternoon tip-off down at the Kia Center.
It is a massive game. With the series tied 1-1, whoever takes Game 3 takes control of the narrative. The Pistons need to prove they can win on the road, and the Magic want to prove Game 1 wasn't a fluke. It's must-watch television.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of the Motor City Sports Rundown. We covered a lot of ground today, from playoff basketball heroics to baseball bullpen tragedies.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Enjoy the games this weekend, whether you're streaming the Pistons on Saturday afternoon or watching the Tigers try to bounce back and salvage their series in Cincinnati. We will be right back here next time to break down all the weekend results and see where our Detroit teams stand. Until then, take care, stay safe, and go Detroit.